sort of trace what's happening in Jewish history. There was a goal in Chumash that the Jewish people should be a nation representing God. They should be a nation like any other nation. Or actually, maybe we should, as long as we're keeping the title in Yishael, open up Yishael Peret Mem Bet. Not to study Yishael, but simply as a point of departure in the Shir, to see how Yishael sometimes is also a Parshan, Parshan HaMikra, how he interprets Sefer Bereshit. This so happens to be the Haftarah for Parshat Bereshit. Take a look in Peret Mem Bet, Pasuk Hey. This should be the beginning of a Parshia. Membet Pasuk Hey. Komar, Moses probably could have started a chapter there as well. Komar Ha'el Hashem, Borei Hashemayim V'notehem, Voka Ha'aretz V'tzatzeha, Notein Neshama La'am Aleha V'ruach Lochim Ba. Why did Chazal pick this for the Haftarah for Parshat Bereshit? Borei Hashemayim V'notehem, Voka Ha'aretz V'tzatzeha, that's simple. But look at the second half of the Pasuk. Notein Neshama La'am Aleha. What's that mean? God gave a soul to who? To a nation upon it. And Ruach Lochim, and Ruach Lochim Ba. Now, is there a concept of Neshama and Ruach in Parshat Bereshit? There's Ruach Elohim, and there's also there's Yitzirat Ha'adam in Gan Eden. Yitzirat Ha'adam in Gan Eden. It's by Pap 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 Nishmat Nishmat Chaim. Correct? There's no doubt that Parshat Bereshit talks about the creation of heavens and earth, also the creation of Adam Rishon, Yitzirat Ha'adam. And now Yishael says there's something more created. He's talking about Sefer Bereshit, there's no doubt about it. But what is he saying? What else was Nutzar? What else was created in Sefer Bereshit? A nation. That's Parshanut, isn't it? It never says that a nation had a neshama in Sefer Bereshit. But there's no doubt he's talking about Sefer Bereshit. The same idea. But here he puts the concept of neshama. And just like God puts in the Shema to make man, God's intention in creation was also to make a nation. Now, what does God do with that Am? Pasuk Vav. Ani Hashem kratzicha b'tzemek, v'chazek b'yadecha, v'tzarcha, v'tzemcha l'brit Am lo'or goyim. God created it, called upon it to do, to be righteous, etc. But what did he do with that nation that he created? That Tenchal the Brit Am, he made a covenant with that nation. For what purpose? To be a light to other nations, which is classic Isaiah, classic Yishayahu. But it's not just classic Yishayahu, it's also Parshanut on Sefer Bereshit. Where do we have the concept of a Brit with a nation in Sefer Bereshit? Brit Bein Haptarei, Brit Milah, Brit Avot, Asher Nishbati L'Avraham, Brit Mishmot HaLitzak, Avdel Yaakov. And now Yishayahu also gives Parshanut as well. What was the purpose of that Brit? Something that Sefer Bereshit never actually comes out and says. If you study the book, you can reach that conclusion that was the purpose of God choosing the Jewish nation. But what did Yishayahu say? What was the purpose of God creating that nation, making the covenant with it? To be in Ola Goim, or probably based on the Pasuk, the famous one, that God tells us, Ki dati v'man asher tzavet banav, et bitocha v'shemudah ha-chasem l'asot tzavetam mishpat, well, we turn to that Pasuk soon. There's no doubt, Yishayahu isn't quoting Sefer Bereshit, he's making a commentary on Sefer Bereshit, a very powerful one, and everyone uses that concept of Ola Goim quite often. Here we see where the sources, and now in the sources of the Pasuk, how Yishayahu relates that to the theme of Sefer Bereshit. Now, if that's why God chose the Jewish nation, so and he promised, and that's why he gave Avraham Avinu, promised him the concept of the land. The land is a vehicle to become that nation, where the nation can prosper, and that's probably why he chose a nation located between two centers of civilization, remember, between Egypt and Mesopotamia, to make a name for God. And the laws that we receive at Har Sinai are going to be the blueprint or the plan or the framework, the detailed plan of how we're going to fulfill that goal. Even though that's the goal of Chumash, from the time period of Yeshua onward, it really never was fulfilled. We don't find it happening, working in the time of the Shoftim. Maybe a little bit in the time of Yeshua, not really. Not too much at all. To read Yeshua carefully, you see it was more of a failure than a success, than a conquest. In the time of the Shoftim, things got from bad to worse. We definitely never see in Sefer Shoftim any other nation looking up to us. We're not all the goyim. There's no goyim. They're only goyim. When we're fighting them, they're goyim. When we have a good relationship, they're goyim. That's the way we pronounce the difference. And by the way, in public design, I don't think you should have talked about the wrong of the ophthalmologist. It's about cataract. Means to allow people to see the light. And that theme is going to be over and over again in Shaya. One must point that out now. If you look at the timeline of Jewish history, Amito doesn't fulfill its goal in the time of the Shoftim. When is the first time in Jewish history where Amito is on the map? Is a nation that other nations look up to? That they achieve international stature, that other nations come to us for help? That's David Shlomo. And that's exactly why David Shlomo is the Chacham HaShichi. And Yisrael is going to refer to it. You want to see one pasuk in Sefer Melachim that relates to that? Take a look in Sefer Melachim Perek Yud, Melachim Aleph Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Just one little tiny example. Perek Yud and Melachim Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Came his visit to Makat Shva. Makat Shva shomat et shema Shlomo v'shem Hashem. Makat Shva in Ethiopia. She hears about how great Shlomo is, not because of all the Torah he's learning. What's she hear about? Oh, this guy's got an army, this guy's got a fleet of ships, this guy has great trade, this guy has wisdom, culture. She hears about it, and she comes to check it out. Everyone knows the story. What's the Navi say? Makat Shva shomat et shema Shlomo v'shem Hashem. What was the purpose of all his endeavors? He did all this to make God's name great, but Tavov and Asov, if she goes, she comes to check it out, and she goes on and on. She comes to Yerushalayim, she gets the royal tour, goes to Yad Vashem and to the Knesset, and she sees the whole classic royal tour, and first she sees the Mikdash and all the things that he built, and then look at the end of her visit when she says goodbye, because it's Vav. Vatomer la melech emeta yadavar asher shamati barsi. Really true. It's really true what I heard. Pasuk Zayin. Lo amati liban ala shabati v'tirena einai v'nei lo gadei hachesed. I didn't believe when I heard about it, and now she only says I only heard the half of it. She coined that phrase. Then pasuk Chet. She leaves with a benediction. Ashrei anashecha, ashrei avadecha, elo omdim lefanecha tamid, hashuvim et chokhmatecha. יהיה השם עליך ברוך אשר חפץ בך ותדחה על כיסא ישראל ואהבת השם את ישראל לעולם ושמחה למלך לעשות משפט וצדקה. A key word that Yishai is going to use over and over again. צדק ומשפט, משפט וצדקה, all happens over time. What does Makat Shva come and recognize? That Am Yisrael as a nation, as a king, and what's he using all of his wisdom and all of his culture, all of his military might and economic strength? What's the focus of his kingdom? To do tzedek u'mishpat. Remember when Shlomo in the beginning asked for wisdom? Didn't he ask for wisdom to be a smart aleck? Okay. He wanted chokhmah lishpot et amcha. He wanted chokhmah to... And what story does this Torah tell us about? Everyone knows the story of the chokhmah. Okay. It's not the two women. More than that. The two nashim zonot. Who is Shlomo wasting his time? Of course. To take care of the bottom of the social. Two people who would take him to court nowadays, the baker would look at them, it's your problem. And if a case gets out of court, someone goes out of its way to deal with the bottom of society and goes out of its way to make sure the justice is done. You know, that's something that's going to, that makes them, it's not just his wisdom there, but who he's dealing with. No. Soon we'll see how that's going to relate to Yishayahu. That's the time period of David and Shlomo, we reached sort of a high point. And that's why it's Chacham HaShichi. That's why David's known as Mashiach. It's a reference to go back to. It falls apart. Civil war, right? Everyone's got their own way of seeing things. Mm-hmm. Other people say, you know, don't like what Shlomo's doing. They have a better way to run the country. They think they know better. This one thinks they know better. Everyone means well. We end up with the civil war. So, okay. And remember, everyone knows the civil war. Baron Yerovam. The story of Dibra Amin, by the way, like, there's a war that 500,000 people get killed. It's only written in Dibra Amin, between Abiyah and Yerovam. But that's the bottom where things get really bad. When did things finally get better again? In the time period of Achab. Why did they get better? finally, Achav and Yehoshaphat work together. There's a political agreement between the two. In fact, they married each other's children off. Achav's no Mr. Fruiting, you think? Yehoshaphat's okay. But Achav, remember, he has all the... He makes a treaty with Yezebel, etc., to become strong. But still, it's a high point, and that's where exactly where Eliyahu comes in to try to make things better. That also fails. Then there's the Yehoshaphat, and we drop again. The next time, and again, there's another sabor between with Amasya and Yoash, another bad low point in Jewish history. When did things finally get better? Not till almost 500 years later, in the time of Uzziel. I want to take a look in Sefer Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudalim. It talks about Melachim Bet. Perek Yudalim is Bet 12, I think. Yeah, Perek Bet 12. No, I'm sorry, the end of Perek Yudalim. The end of Perek Yudalim. Melachim Bet, the end of Perek Yudalim. Pasuk Chav Gimel. I want to see what's happening in the time period of Yerovam, Melech Yisrael, called Yerovam II, and Uzziel Melech Yehuda. This is how Sefer Melachim describes the time period. Bishat 15 shana l'amatiyah ben Yoash Melech Yehuda, Melech Yerovam ben Yoash Melech Yisrael b'shamon 41 shana. Siyat Rav ben Yashem, l'osan niko chatot Yerovam, benevat asher yachit Yisrael. Yerovam is not so good in the eyes of the Nabi. Despite all that, Pasuk Chav Hei, who is she with Yisrael from the book of Hamat Adiyam Arava? Because Hashem Elohim Yisrael should be there. The Yonah ben Amitai, the Nabi Hashem got Chesed. He got the Chesed. Because Hashem only Yisrael more and more. That's the Tzur, that's the Tzur. They know that Yisrael. But the Ber Hashem Limchot, Mechule. What do we find? Even though the Northern Kingdom is not so great, God says Rachman upon them in the time of Yoash, in the time of Yerobam ben Yoash, and things go well. Why is God giving him another chance? The words are going right back to Yisrael Tazinu. God says, remember, God said, I'm not going to let him totally fall apart. I'll give him one last chance. I'll give him another chance. God's giving them a chance in the time of Yerovam ben Yoash. Things go well again. At the same time, Uzziel, we can read in Dibur Amim and also here, Uzziel, also very strong. He built up a big army. He built Mikdalot. That's the strongest thing about it. They quote, yeah, about Uzziel. With the Migdalim and the whole, and he got a big army, and he was Oyev Adama, and he planted a lot. The country grows tremendously in the time of Uzziel. There's tremendous political, economic strength in the time of Uzziel. Understand? That's the time period. And Uzziel and Yerovam again work together. They get along fine. Which leads to another renaissance. Things are going well. And the hope is that maybe something can go good there. In light of that high point on the map, I want to take a look at Yishael Perek Bet, which wasn't on the schedule. Correct? Yes, I thought you had Yishael Perek Vav and Perek Zayin. On the schedule. Anyone doing a whole Yishael day, I want to make sure we cover the main points of Yishael. Look at Yishael Perek Bet. Yishael Perek Bet. Everyone knows this story by heart. How to begin? הדבר אשר חזה אישה בן מות נגדה בירושלים, והיה באחרית הימים. How do most people translate באחרית הימים? What אחרית really mean now in Hebrew? אחרון? Is that last? אחרון is? Next. Remember Yaakov and his with the kids? אחרית means can be the next generation. It doesn't mean the last. It means the next generation. Or the one after the upcoming generation. There's a lot of examples in Hebrew. I think if I want to bring one from Tehillim, is it Ayin Chet? Do I have it right or not? I'll take too much time to prove it from there. They'll tell their children and their children. The Dor Acharon will tell that we should tell the Dor Acharon, and the Dor Acharon will tell. And then they'll tell their children. Yeah, it's over the place. Achron means the next. I want to understand why it's so important in Yishael Perek Bet. Because people understand Yishael Perek Bet is like the end of days. It's not necessarily the end of days. It's what could be. It could be the next generation. To use an analogy, a lot of us view Yemot HaMashiach as home plate. You know baseball? I understand it's first base. You understand the difference between the two? reach Yimot HaMashiach, I think that's the way the Rambam explains it, in the end of Hilchot Melachim, is that when we reach Yimot HaMashiach, not Olam Haba, but Yimot HaMashiach, is when Am Yisrael is able to do its job. We're out of survival mode and into revival mode. And that's what's happening in Yisrael. What's Yisrael saying? What will happen? What's Yisrael saying? We can return to the time period of David and Shlomo. Everything's set. From an economic point of view, from a military point of view, as far as security goes, as far as culture goes, as far as building, we're finally a nation that other nations are going to look up to. There's no one oppressing us. Yisrael is saying in the time of Uzziah and Yerovam, God planted the seeds for redemption. That Am Yisrael can begin to fulfill its job again as being a light to other nations. That's his big hope. The Mikdash is built. There's unity among them. Am Yisrael. Nothing's stopping them except one thing. What do they need to do? They need to act in a way that represents God's heart for them. And therefore, Yisrael is telling the people there's a possibility of taking all this economic growth and military growth and channeling it to fulfill God's goal for his people. And he wants them to recognize the reason why God's been good to you. You might not have deserved all this, but God's been good to you in order that you fulfill that. But what's Yisrael going to write afterwards? Everyone who knows the rest of Parag Bet, what's Yisrael complaining about? There's one problem on Yisrael, mostly Gava. For some reason back then, all that wealth and all the economic prosperity and military strength caused people to become haughty. I don't think it's ever happened again in history. And what Yisrael talks about in Parag Bet and Gimel, I'm sure if you read it, you know, and we're not going to read it inside. Let's bring one or two examples. Yom Hashem. Yeah. And Pasuk Yibet. Yom Hashem Tzvot Al Kogi Abba Rama Koni Saba Shafel Al Kor Zeh Lepanon. He just goes on and on. God's had it with the Balei Agava. What's God hoping? God's hoping that all that economic prosperity will grow to channel that in the right way. And instead the people take all that economic prosperity that God's given them in order to fulfill the God's job as God's nation, and they misuse it. Instead of using it to become God's nation, they use it to become a haughty society. Instead of taking care of the poor and the needy, they're just taking advantage of the poor and the needy, and that Yisrael is going to talk about over and over again. If you want, in fact, look at Derek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel, on the top of the complaints about everybody there. But Nitzav Zariv Hashem will make the din amin. So God's arguing with his people. Hashem and Mishpat Yavon Tikmei Amo, the Sarav, Batem Biata Makarem, Biata Tanid, Batechem. He's referring, he'll go that in detail in Mashal HaKerem, that you people are taking advantage of the, with all your wealth, you're not taking care of the poor and the needy. Malachem Tidaku Ami, Upnei Aniim Tidchanu. Know what that means? Tidchon. Tidchon is to grind. You can grind the face of a poor person. You might not do anything legally wrong, but you can drive them, Tidchon is to grind somebody.
To rub it in.
Nu Mashem Tzvot. And Yanki Gabo Ben Otzion, but that's when Dio Tzoron, and he goes into all day. You can see from the end of Parag Gimel, I don't understand a thing of the Parag, but it's all women's basically makeup and jewelry in that time period. If they're talking about makeup and jewelry, you know exactly how well the economic situation is. It's a sign of their economic wealth and prosperity and what Yishai is fighting about. Now, I will return to the page, I'll get another example of Yishai in a minute. I want to simply bring an example of when you understand the historical setting of when the Navi is speaking and talking, you begin to understand the book in a totally different light. Yishai is not talking about the future, the distant future that can happen 5,000 years from now or 2,000 years from this time. He's talking about something that can happen in his own time period. He's not telling the people what's going to be. A prophet is not an oracle. An oracle is somebody who sits and predicts the future. Nowadays we think, oh, what's a prophet? If you can predict the future, oh, you're a prophet. So then we'll pay you big money, you know, and you can give us blessings, etc. The ancient prophets, their job wasn't to predict what's going to happen in the future. Their job is to shape the future. And to tell the people what direction they should go in. A prophet is God's spokesman. They speak on behalf of God what direction to go in. They're like rabbinical leaders. But they're speaking on behalf of God what direction the people should go in. What they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. What needs to be done to make things better, and vice versa. And the idea of thinking a prophet's going to predict the future is a total misunderstanding of what the Nebuah is about. Now, look back on the on the chart with Uzziel Yerovam. You see the time point. What Yishai was hoping to do, he's hoping to take that time period and make it a messianic one, hoping to finally fulfill Am Yisrael's goal from Chumash. Instead, what happens? It all falls apart. And when it falls apart, Yishai has to deal with a bigger problem. Because when it falls apart, the people are not worshipping other gods. Yishai Ochem they are. But what the people are sure that they're doing, the Beit HaMikdash at the time of Yishai is running beautifully. To bring Korbanot, everyone's davening, or they tell everyone, the religious level of the people is fine. Especially in time of Hizkiel. What he complains about all the time is lack of social justice. Yishai's big chiddushes, which that's why people don't listen to him, the people are sure that God's with them. Why? Because they're bringing the davening. Right? And they're bringing the offerings. Why wouldn't God be with them? Because their understanding of a God, the Avodah Zarah, that Yishai was talking about, is not worshipping a God that's Zar, a foreign God, they're worshipping God in a foreign way. Avodah Zarah can be referring either to the God, it's strange, or the way of worshipping is strange. And what Yishai called, what the people think is Avodah Hashem, he calls Avodah Zarah. And he calls the Maseya Davi Shtachavu. Not every single time the Nabi talks about idol worship, it's not a bunch of idiots bowing down to pieces of wood and metal thinking they have superpowers. He's talking about real issues. You know, very, very, not very different to what we have today. What a person really believes in, what's at the center of a person's thought and mind, and what he's thinking about all the time, what he feels is important about us. How what? Yeah, he mocks them about it. He says, you're going to take your idols, your trophies, and use them to dig your way out of to dig yourself little tunnels to save yourself from ashore. But the question is, are these really idols? Are these real idols? Do people really believe in them? Or the idols are the symbols of their, as I call them, trophies. The symbols of their accomplishments. Maybe we'll bring some examples of that later on, how Yishai talks about their own achievements as their idols. Later we're going to see how things go from bad to worse. Yishai has to explain to the people the reason why things are going bad is because God's angry with you for your lack of social justice. The people don't buy it, and they think God left them. And then later on Yishai has a more difficult message to say, that, you know, who's to blame for what's going wrong? The people think God left them. Yishai has to tell them he's left God. And it's a big job they have to do to explain that God cares more about how you treat your fellow man than the offerings that you bring. But that's also Yishayel, if you've ever read Yishayel. Teres Aleph is there up front, which is more from the time of Yishayel. During the time of Yishayel, we also have the Korban of the 10 tribes, the northern tribes go out. Yishayel doesn't relate directly to them, because he's the Nabi of Yehuda. His contemporary, Hosea, Amos, deal more with that. But there's definitely a relationship between them. Things are saved at the last minute, the time of Yishayel. We're going to return to that time period, and then go bad again the time of Menashe, and then from Yoshio to the end, that's the time period of Yirmiyahu and Yishayel.
Why you put the very small Yishayel?
Because things get better but that's the war with Sancheri.
Nevertheless, according to Chazal, in Yishayel's time, that was the highlight.
That was the highlight from a religious point of view.
As I mean, but you said in the beginning that you are putting these signs up and down, either by religious...
I said it has nothing to do with religion. I should have been more clear. The highlight is how well they're doing economically, politically, culturally, etc. A high point, things are a little bit better. Religiously, not necessarily. Now, when Chazal say Chizkiel, in the time of Chizkiel, what were they doing? Everyone knew all the laws of Tumah and Tara, inside out. But that's exactly what they're complaining about. Tumah and Tara, they're all mastered on tremendously.
The
Mikdash. Could have been.
That's the only one. They didn't say it about Uzziyahu, not about Yerobam, only about Chizkiyahu.
But he could have been Mashiach.
Yes, and Mashiach is also something with physical matter. It's not only.
Yeah, but Uzziyahu and Yerobam could not have been. Yishayahu says the next generation could be. Yishayahu says it could be. That's Chizkiyahu Mashiach. David for sure says Chizkiyahu Mashiach. Chizkiyahu had potential, had he done what? Had reacted to God. They could have done, but remember, what it means he didn't say Shira, that's interesting. But there was potential there. We're going to talk about that time period very soon, I think, we'll see how Deuter Isaiah fits into exactly right there, what they call Deuter Isaiah. Now, I wanted, for the time we have remaining, we can do as follows. I want to focus first, for a minute, on Uziel in the time period of Yeshayahu in the time period of Uziel, in the beginning of his career, and try to understand his message there. And then spend a little time on Yeshayahu in the time period of Chizkiyahu. We had a share on the Chag, that those were shared beforehand. And Uziel, about Nevuah Nechama from Perek Ma'amon, why Yeshayahu in the time period of from Perek Ma'amon, about the future redemption, according to Yeshayahu. Perek Hay is going to be my focus. I want to simply do one more pasuk in Sefer Bereshit to understand Perek Hay, and a word that Yishayahu is going to use a lot. Yishayahu talked about the reason why Am Yisrael was chosen was to be a light to other nations. The source pasuk, I think, which he's building it on, which is a famous one, is Perek Yudchet in Bereshit, pasuk Yudzayin. Just a quick review of it. Perek Yudchet, pasuk Yudzayin. After the three Malachim come to Abraham and tell him he's going to have a daughter from Sarah. A son from Sarah. maybe a new dress. and then the next Shabbos, the Malachim is supposed to build out the destroyed stone. Right in between, Chumash fills the beans about why Am Yisrael was chosen. Hashem said, "I'm chasen me Avram Hashem Yoseh." And Pesach Yitzchak, very simple Pesach Yitzchak. Avram Oyeh Yeh LeGoy Gadol VaTzum, Nivuku Bo Kol Goy Haaretz. It goes right back to the beginning of Lech Lecha. Chumash is reminding the reader, Avram was chosen to be a nation to represent God, and he'd be a blessing for all mankind. Ki Yedati, because God, Yedati doesn't mean God knows, but God destined. Yud. God destined, God entered an intimate relationship with the people of Israel, like that, Yidatid, it's a selection, I think, it's not that, you remember?
Yadatid.
It's like Yadatid, but also even Yidatid, I've come to know him for a reason.
Not
that he will, God doesn't know that he will, God chose him in order that he would. Two totally different approaches to Judaism. Right? Did he choose us because he knows we're going to do it? Or he chooses because he wants us to do it. Or in essence, are we chosen because we're better, or are we chosen to be better? Yidatib, l'man ha-shir tzavet banav v'bito acharav, v'shamu derech ha-shem l'asot tzadakah mishpat, l'man ha-vei ha-shem avram, et ha-shir didar alam. What was the primary goal of God choosing the nation of Abraham? That he would begin the family tradition of tzadakah mishpat. It's on that pasuk, Yishayahu bases, I think, a big chunk of his prophecy. And I want to bring the classic example from Yishayahu Perek Hay, without doing the whole story inside. I'm sure you know the story. Mashallah, I simply want to appreciate why it's fitting in this unit from Perek Bet to Perek Hay. What I want to suggest is, let's put on the market here. If you look how the book is built, we'll put Aleph as a background. Bet the Hay is Kufat Uziel. Yishayahu Perek Bet the Hay. It's almost obvious he's talking about the time period of Uziel. We know the economy is good. We know people are doing well. And listen to what he's complaining about. Yishayahu Perek Hay was just two or three psukim. I'm sure everyone knows the story, so I'll do it quickly. Asher na li didi shirat todi lakamo, ken ma yel didi b'ken ben shemen. It's sort of like a ballad. I'm using the word in English, right? It's a song, a ballad about to make a point. And he talks about how his friend from Ben Shemin. What did his friend want to do? His friend had a business idea. I want to make the best wine. That's what he wanted to do. To make the best wine, what do I need? I need the best grapes. How do I get the best grapes? I need the best vine, and I need the best good land, good soil, and I need someone to water, to take care of it, get the field ready. So what did my friend do? He got the best vine. He took the field, he cleared the field, got rid of all the rocks, put up a fence around it, got everything all set. That's what we read in that pasuk bet. Okay? And then at the end of pasuk bet, it says it's like midal b'tochol v'gamekav chasabo. You get everything ready. You put a watchtower around it, and you put even a fence around it, and you even put a yekav, a wine press, had it all set to produce the wine. By kav l'asot anavim by asbushim. His hope was to make good bread. Instead, what happened? He got sour bread. Everyone knows the story. Then he says the following. V'atah Yosef Yerushalayim v'ish Yehuda shiftuna b'ini u'bein tamid. What shiftuna mean here? Who's judging? Who's the court here? What he wants to do, he wants the people, who's to blame? Something went wrong. When something goes wrong, what do we all do? You gotta blame somebody. Who's to blame here? Now, if it's the farmer's fault, what would I have to do? Okay. Find something he did wrong. And then maybe we'll fire the farmer, get a different farmer. What did he say? What did he say? Tell me, what else I could have done? Tell me one thing I could have done better. How can you blame me, the farmer says, for the grapes going sour? Tell me one thing I could have done that I didn't do. You can't blame me. Therefore, who's to blame? The vine is to blame. The carom is to blame. And then he goes with the analogy. I know what I'm going to do. I'm so angry with my vineyard. I'm going to just destroy the whole thing. I'm going to take down the fence. I'm going to stop watering. It won't take care of it. And just let it go to the animal. That's what he says in Pasuk Vav in Zayin. Then he gives the analogy at the end. Pasuk Zayin. Ki kerem Hashem tzvot beit Yisrael vishudah netash hashoav. Kav v'mishpat v'nei mishpat v'tzaka v'nei tzaka. Clearly, God was cut hope. What's for mishpat v'tzaka? Instead, what did he get? Mishpat v'tzaka. Now, what's behind the analogy is, there's only certain things that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can do. But someone plants, just like a farmer. A farmer can plant a tree. He can water it, he can take everything. He can't make the grapes grow. Who does that? The vine. The vine can do that. There's only certain things he can do. He can give 100% all of his effort. He's not in total control. Kaviyachol is the same thing with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. God can make the people of Israel. He can give them a land. He can give them health. He can give them prosperity. He can give them long life. He can give them pride from their enemies. But there's one thing God can't do for us. He can't make us do Tzedek u'Mishpat. That we have to do ourselves. And how we act is up to us. That's the Bechera Chofshit that we have. What God's saying, if someone's not doing Tzedek u'Mishpat, I can give a lot of excuses for him. Oh, he's not healthy. Right? There's war going on. Political turmoil. There can be thousands of good excuses. But now there's a situation that God put us in that there's no excuse anymore. There's no reason, you have no excuse for not doing what God expected from you. And if I took care of all your economic situation, your whole political situation, I took care of everything, and you're still lousy, and you're taking all the wealth I gave you and only using it to make yourself money, then what point is there in you being my nation anymore? Therefore, what's that they have to do? I have to go. Now, not forever, but bring them back. That'll be the north and the Chama later on. But he explains why God wants to bring a Korban. And that's going to be, and that's like pretty much the highlight of his, God's explaining why he's so upset with the generation of Uziel. There's so much potential in the time period of Uziel, and then he's upset with what happened. So God gives amazing things. In a miraculous way, the country's on its feet again, and God's so totally upset because they don't reciprocate and act in the way he expected them to do. And his job as a Navi in the time of Uziel is to get the people to channel their wealth and strength to do Tzedek u'Mishpat, to be a model, like it was in the beginning of time of David and Shlomo. And when they don't do that, he's angry. And what do you have to explain? Who's going to come and punish them? That's going to be the topic from Parashat Zion too. You bet? You know what I'm talking about? Koya Shur Sheva Dati? There's one theme in Parashat Zion Chet Tzedek. Who's coming to punish you? Ashur. Now, Ashur themselves are no big tzaddikim either. And that's the problem that people are dealing with. How can you tell me that Ashur is the whip of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Navi talks about Ashur as doing God's work for him. But the Navi will say, Ashur himself doesn't realize that. He thinks he's also a big sin. I'll punish him later on. That's basically the main topic in Parashat Zion too. Shidalos is there. That's saying, who's going to be? Let's take a look at Parashat Zion. Is what Ashur Sheva Navi? Not in Parashat Yud. It's like, Teretz Yud plus a K. Hoy, Teretz Yud plus a K. Hoy, Ashur Shevet Api, Matehu, Yedam Zani, Begoy Chanei Pashachena, Oram Evreti Atzaveh, Vishor Shalal, Vuzvaz, etc. God's sending Ashur to, but how about Ashur himself, Prophet Zayin? Vuhu, Lochem Yidameh, Ulovo Lochem Yachshor, Ki Lashmit Bevavo, Lachmit Goyim Lovah. He doesn't realize himself, he's not doing it the same Yichud before he goes and destroys it. He's also a bum. And the people can't understand how could God allow a nation like Ashur to come in what conclusion do people reach? There is no Ashkacha. If we're bringing Korbanot and following God properly, and Mikdash is running fine, and Ashur comes and gives us a hard time, the people are sure that God left his people. The people are sure that God left them, abandoned them. And the Nabi is saying it's not because God's not abandoning you, you're not doing what God expected you. And that's the struggle that Yishal has with his people all the time. I'm going to abandon you and let you go because of your... No, and they think they're banning them because for no reason. The people think, hey, we've been loyal to you. We're davening every day. We say all your prayers. We bring all your korbanot. We come to the Beit HaMikdash. We wear a kippot. We're all, you know, everything's glad. Chalav, everything. Everything's perfect. And how come you're so angry with us? They got to blame somebody. And we're left wingers to blame them. They're blaming God. And that's going to be the topic from the Bet Tehei is going to be Shabbat Yisrael. The Zion Gizbet will be basically on the Atasur, which will be Achad and Yisrael. In the end of Parashat Gizbet, who's going to bring Yeshua? Who's going to save them at the end? Everyone knows what's the end of Parashat Gizbet or the end of Parashat Yisrael. Parashat Yisrael. The Atachotah Megeta Yishai, that's the Atachotah Megeta Yisrael. וזה זמן לך המשיח
כאן?
ישי וכו'. ולכן עברו רוח השם, רוח חוכמה ובינה, רוח חיטה וגבורה, רוח דת ורוח השם, לא דמר נביא שבות, פסוק דלת ושבת בצדק תלי, והוכיח במישור על ידי ארץ, ויקבל את השבטי, ורוח חוטה במדרשה, ויצדק איזו מותניו. He's talking about a warrior who's basically the first mitzvah tank. In that sense. We're talking about a man of war, right? But what is tools of war, right? His tzedek u'mishpat elida. It's such an obvious thing to Yishayahu. How he puts on the main thing God wants from it, how we act with one another. And how Yishayahu gets it from Chumash is not just from that little pasuk in Sefer Bereshit. Read Parshat Mishpatim. Remember Parshat Mishpatim? V'gevlo tzachat, v'tem yidat ha'benefesh ha'gir, kim ha'gir 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 to be nice to the poor. You were once on the short end of the stick. Don't treat other people that way. Repeat it over and over again. So that's the second unit of Yishayahu. Now, after in Perek Vav, you had a share on that, I think. I don't know if anyone would like to share on the schedule. I'm not going to examine that. That's a question. That's the Nevoah where he seems to be appointed, Yishayahu. There's a big question. Is that a Nevoah HaKdashah where he's appointed, or is that Nevoah of Siluk Shekhinah? But that's where Kadosh Kadosh Hashem Tzvod Mochal Tzvodo and called Siluk Shekhinah. And the reason why Sirah said at the beginning makes a lot of sense. If God's so angry in Parak Hei, in Parak Bet Tur Hei, the people are listening, what's the result? Mishnat Tzvod HaMelech Uziel. That's why we time it. And Chazal say that's when he became... What did Uziel do wrong? He goes to Kadosh Kadoshim to Makti. Makti's not religious. What's that a problem of? Oh, I want to bring Torah. I've been mentioned Parshat Shavuot.
What's the
Gava? What? Gava. It's a problem of Gava. And what's the proof? What's his punishment? Torah. Which is always, it's not we get Lashon Hara, it's also Gava, and they go hand in hand. And God's saying, you want to come in? I'm leaving. So that's classic Yishayahu. But basically, Terek Aleph to your back, and Terek Aleph, it seems to be from the standard of Yishayahu. But the same... emphasizing again the same point of you're comparing them to stone, which was a place last inside of Mishpat. That's the main part of Yishayahu. Now we'll get to the compared to Gimel. We'll see in a minute so where. Take a quick look at the Parashat Gimel. Masav Avel. What's going to happen from Parashat Gimel on? For a while. We're going to be focusing on other nations. There's Masav Avel, and then there's Masav. That's your Gimel Yudalit. In Perek Tzav Masa Moav. In Perek Yudzayin Masa Demetek. Siluk Shekhinah. Siluk HaShekhinah. Masa Mitzrayim in Perek Yutet. In fact, what's happening in Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim Yitbaryam in Perek Hapala. Masa Gichadion is really cute in Perek Habet, because even though it's a whole set of Pakim about other nations, What's Perek Chabed about? You know what Masechet Yechidot is about? It's about Yerushalayim, the entire period of Hizkiyahu. You ever go to Perek Chabed? It's a classic. That's when they build the wall, when Hizkiyahu builds the tunnel, when you broke down houses to build an aqueduct system. There's so much history there, so we have remnants of everything that happened there. And this is like, you know, everyone in school, every tour, always, every tour you sign, we Perek Chabed. That's the Achov Shitoki Machar Namut is from there. Perek Chabed is a classic. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting about Perek Chabed, it's in the middle of the Seder Pekin, that's about other nations. And Shevna, the Sochein is there. All classic things. Beginning in Perek Chav Gimel, and Masad Torah through Perek Chav Gimel.
Gimel
Chav
Gimel,
it's
called Masad
and how many souls included in there?
Masot
of the Nevin. Now, Perek Chav Daled, I'm not going to translate a word, just read a little bit. Hine Hashem Bokei Ka'aret, Mechule, Hine Am Kikohen, Kevet Adonav, Kishichal Kikretak, Mekonek Kamocher, Kamavet Kavavet, Tibok Tibok Ha'aret, Tibok Tibok, Ishel is in its finest form. They're all tongue twisters, but the classic Ishel, the beautiful Hebrew of Ishel, and his poetry, and from Perek Chav Daled on, he just goes, it's simply a masterpiece. That's why it's very hard to understand what exactly he's getting at. But that style pretty much goes through Perek Chav Daled.
Chav Daled, Chav
Daled. You said classic Yeshayahu. What time period are you talking about? Who is he dealing with? It's a good topic. It's a reflection from a lot of different time periods. We'll leave it alone for now. It's another unit. Those people find five Isaiahs. You know the five Isaiah theory, not the two Isaiah theory? The five Isaiah theory, that's another Isaiah. When you go to a Bible school.
Lamed Vav, the Lamed Tet, is the easiest, so it's called the History Channel.
Lamed Vav?
I'm
not going to go into detail what's happening there, it's too complicated. I also want to point out, it's the language there. What comes shining through is Yeshayahu's language. His language is poetry. It's beautiful. You sit and read it, don't understand a word. It's beautiful. Again, what you're dealing with, what time period, it's very deep, complicated. Not many years of a short show. I want to get to what they call Yeshayahu. Lamed Vav, Lamed Tet is a history that's easy. Simply, it's a story of, basically, Sancheriv and the last end of how Ashur comes in, what happens, and how they saved the last minute. Or basically, it's an appendix an appendix to what happened in Yeshayahu. They see a proof that it came true. You know, we have the same thing if anyone will learn Sefer Yirmiyahu. In Sefer Yirmiyahu, most of Yirmiyahu's nevuot are from Aleph to Lamed Vav. Yirmiyahu's nevuot on Amisa are Aleph to Lamed Vav. From Lamed Zayin to Mem Daled is an historical appendix of his nevuot coming true. If you learn Yirmiyahu, Lamed Zayin, to Mem Daled, speaking Hebrew, he's in Sefer Melachim Ot. Really, it's simply story, classic narrative, nothing deep, nothing complicated. And it's a story of how the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, and how that group left, remaining Yerushalayim, ended up going down to Egypt, and Bo Gedaliah Ben Achikam's story. But it's an appendix to Yirmiyahu's Zivur. Because Perek Lamed Vav is what's called a Sipur Mitzgeret. If you know Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Vav ends the unit, explains how the book was made. And then from Perek Lamed Zayin on is an appendix. From Perek Ben Hayon is Nevot Amin, it's a separate section of Yirmiyahu on the other nations, which is another appendix to the book. But finishing a book of Nevi'im, finishing a Nevuah, a rebuke, a Tochacha, and at the end of that Tochacha, adding on an appendix with an historical account of the Nevi'im prophecy coming through, it's nice and simple. That's what's happening in Yeshayahu. So when you look at Yeshayahu in general, it's real simple. Aleph is classic. You know, basically, I think it's Perek Aleph, the opening Perek, is what it's all about in Yeshayahu. That's his Tzedek U'Mishpat shining through. And the reason for the Korban and Temes Kiskiyo. Bet Hei, Tzvat Uziyahu, and how God's so upset. Tzibuk Shkinam, Perek Vav, Zayin, Tzibet Ashur coming in. Yud Bet Tzachav Gimel, how it relates to other nations, including Am Yisrael in there. Again, Chav Daled Lamed Hei, we'll call classic Yeshayahu, just to save time. And Lamed Zot to Lamed Tet is an historical appendix. Which leaves us with what? With
Mem to what? The Nun Vav? The Nun Vav. The Son of Hei. Son of Vav.
That's at the end of what they call, that's what they call Dutra Isaiah, the second Isaiah, which we're going to talk about now. This is our, supposed to be a main topic. Thank you enough time. Give me one. Give me another 10 minutes. Now, take a look at the chart. I want to explain something. If you take a look in Perek Mem, if you take a look at Perek Mem to the end, what seems to be the main topic? What does Chazal call it? Nechama. The Shiva and Nechamta, all the children from there. And who's returning in those 14? What's being rebuilt? Yerushalayim's being rebuilt. Arei Yehuda being rebuilt. Amikos coming back from Galut, isn't it? And therefore, almost all the commentators, where do they identify that unit from? Where does it have to be from? He even talks about Koresh, doesn't he? That's what he talks about Koresh. He talks about Paras coming, etc. So what do they say? They say, it can't be Yishayahu when you're talking about events that are going to happen 200 years from now. And that's what they call it. What they call Deuter Isaiah. They call it a second Isaiah. There must have been someone writing with Yishayahu-type style, right, who wrote the book at the end of Yerusha, probably the beginning of Yerushalayim. And they had it tacked on to the book. That's a classic, pretty much that's a classic approach, right, in the book. And a lot of rabbis even pretty much agree with it and say, and there's nothing wrong with it, it's a Tamidim. Tamidim of Yishayahu. The Tamidim of the Rosh, they write in the same style, they try to copy. What? Kiskel of the, you know, like the Mishle. Yeah. No. Some people say that. No. What I want to show, if there's another approach that I want to suggest, which I need the map for. Take a look at the sign wave. What's happening in Jewish history when we talk about, if you ask anyone on the test, when was Churban Bayit Rishon? What would they all tell you? When was Churban Bayit Rishon? 586, who was the king, Chizkiyahu, maybe 11 years before with Yehoyakim? That's the Churban. We have this thing, it's like a step function, either yes or no. Beit HaMikdash until then, that year everything falls apart. If you look at Jewish history, Churban Bayit Rishon is in the time of Chizkiyahu more than it is in any other time. That's the dotted line on the map there. Let me explain why. Put yourself in Yishael's position. When Yishael becomes Navi, when he's growing up, what's the situation in Am Yisrael? It's never been better since time in 200 years. Mm-hmm. The best time in known history. Things are going really great. The people are also religious. Everything's great. Everyone's looking positive. During the course of his lifetime, what happens? Everything falls apart. Recognize that. The 10 tribes go into Galut. Now, Chizkiyahu saves at the last minute, but there's a good reason he doesn't sing. You know what happened? Yerushalayim is saved at the last minute. But you know what fell? Lachish was like Tel Aviv. Lachish was a big city. We know Lachish fell. In Tanakh, we also know from in Inveh. They uncovered there's a wall relief about Sennacherib's battle against Lachish, which is like from tons of outside sources. Tanakh tells us all the cities of Yehuda are destroyed. Right? Yerushalayim saved at the last minute. Sennacherib himself talks about it. He says, I wiped them all out, I left Yerushalayim like enclosed like in a cage. Huh? He talks about an outside document. He refers to it as well. But in the eyes of Yishayahu, what happened? It's all finished. It's done. It's finished. I want to read something interesting in Divrei Hayamim. Look in Divrei Hayamim. After Chizkiyahu, he has a son who's not so is it? Menashe. Take a look in Divrei Hayamim. That Perek, probably in the Lamed and the Chaf. You find me in Menashe? Chavav is Yishayahu, probably Lamed Gimel. Yeah, Perek Lamed Gimel. Perek Lamed Gimel, Aleph Tetzeh talks about how bad Menashe was. Like the first two lines are worth reading. Perek Lamed Gimel, and Divrei Hayamim Bet. The Navi's building up to something, isn't it? They're worse in the time of Menashe than they were than the nations that we kicked out, and therefore we have no right to remain. He goes on about how bad he is and how bad. Skip to Pasuk 10. ויתר מנשה את יהודה ויושבי ישראל נעשות רב מן הגויים אשר השמיד השם בבני ישראל. Again? מנשה led them and they're worse than they were than the Canaanite Moor who they kicked out. Therefore, Vayabar Hashem, El Menashe Be'alamo Be'lo Yikshivu. Now look at Pasuk Yud Aleph, something a lot of people don't realize. Look at Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayabei Hashem Aleihem Et Tzari Et Tzava Asher Lamelech Ashur, Vayakudu Et Menashe Be'chochim, Vayatru Ben Chushtayim, Vayadukhov Bavela. Sounds familiar? Almost word for word? Tzikiyam. וכתר לו חילת פני השם אלוהיו, וקנה מאוד בפני השם אלוהיו, בפני אבותיו, ופנר אליו, ויתר לו, וישמע תחינתו, וישבר יושב במלאכותו, וידע מנשה כי השם הוא אלוהים. What most people don't realize is that way after Chizkiel, Manasseh becomes king, early in his kingdom what happens, Ashur comes in, totally wipes out the country, and sends the king into Galut. Understand that? Now, when was Yishai living? Under whose time period? Uziel, Yotam, Chizkiel, and most likely, according to Chazal for sure, Menashe. Because according to Chazal, who killed Yishael? Menashe killed him. Because he didn't like what he was saying. Now, put yourself in Yishael's position before he's killed by Menashe. What has he seen in his lifetime? From the highest to the lowest. In the eyes of Yishael, is there a Chorban? To what? 99%. The Mikdash is also destroyed. If you look in Perek Lamed Gimel in Divrei Hayamim, you know who destroys the Mikdash? Menashe destroys the Mikdash. It's full of Avodah Zarah this time. He closes it down. We say Perek Lamed Gimel later. He closes down the Mikdash. Destroys it. It's finished. He himself goes into Galut, but that takes over. In the eyes of Yishayahu, what's happened? Chorban HaBayit. Bayit Rishon is Nechrav. Arei Yehuda or And the writing's on the wall. And what did he say about Menashe? He's also finished. Remember what God tells him about? No, when Chizkiel had stuff. Yishael was sure it's over. Now, what doesn't he know? That Menashe's going to do tshuva and Babel's going to come back? And that Yoshiel's going to do tshuva? Even Chorda, remember Chorda says it's all finished. By the Gzardin of Chorban, if you look at Melachim Bet Perek Chaval, it's the Perek of Chorban, there's the Gzardin of Chorban in the time of Menashe. Maybe you guys should take a quick look. Melachim Bet Perek Chaval. It's the parallel Perek. The Zibra Min Bet Lamed Gimel. Look at Melachim Bet Perek Chaval. Melachim Bet Perek Chaval. Or is it Chaval? No, Chaval, yes. In the beginning of Perek Chaval, that's about all the bad things he does, just like we read before. Take an example of Pasuk Hey. Vayivim Yisbachot Bechot Tzvah Shemayim Yishtei Chetot Zit Hashem Vavir Bo Ben Ob Eish Vonim Ben Yichesh Atov Yidonim Yibar Asot Tavah Ben Yeh Hashem Lachiz Vesem Petzel Asher Asher Asam Bevayt Asher Asam Asam Zavi Shlomo. He puts a Petzel in the Beit HaMikdash. Menashe destroys the Mikdash. Pasuk Yud Bet. I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Yan Asher from Pasuk Yud. Vayidav Hashem V'yad Avadav Memor יאנה שעשה בן אשר מלך יהודה הטובות אלה, הרם מכל אשר עשו המורים, אשר לפניו, והחטא גם את יהודה בגללו, לכן כל מה השם על ישראל, אני מביא רעל ירושלים, ביהודה, אשר כל שומעה, ניצן לשני אוזניו. Sounds familiar? That's the word חורבן אז. הבית אלי, את חורבן שילה. אני אומר, כי שילה יהיה הבית הזה. And who are the Nevi'im? There's Nevi'im in the time of Menashe. We don't know the name. Because no Nevi'im put it Menashe's name in their Koteret, we know that. But they were there. The seeds are there. This most likely is Yishayahu. Could be Yishayahu. Maybe it's Tzvanya. But there's a Nevuah of Korban in the time of, in the early years of Menashe. Therefore, if Yishayahu in his last days, what type of Nevuah does he write? Does he talk about? About Shivat Zion, returning from Babel, rebuilding the cities of Yehudah, Rei Yehudah, and Yerushalayim? Are you surprised? Follow? In the eyes of Yishayahu, what's the time of all the Bikoros? When we say Chorban 586, Yishayahu's living 700, you know, the years give or take a little bit. How would a Nevi in the year 700 write about an event that's going to take place 150, 20 years later? Doesn't make any sense. There's no precedent to that. It doesn't happen. There's no point in it. Nevi talk about what would be in their time period, the next generation. Achri Tamim in the next generation. Why would he talk about an event that's going to be 200 years from now? He's not. What's Yishayahu talking about? Yishayahu's talking about his own generation, what he sees happening. Because in Yishayahu's eyes, the Chorban happened already. It's finished. It's his own Nevuah. And it happened. Menashe goes into the king goes into Galut, the Mikdash is destroyed. Arei Yehuda is destroyed. So Yishayahu saved a little bit. But for all intents and purposes, and especially in relative to how things began, the 10 tribes are gone. Remember? All the seeds, he's done, everything's finished. In Yishayahu's eyes, it's total korban. So don't be surprised that Yishayahu writes 20-some prakim about Nechama. Now, also don't be surprised that after Zid Tshuva, so now the question, if you learn Yirmiyahu, the question Yirmiyahu deals with in the time period of Yoshiel is divine sinning or not. You follow? When Yoshiel thinks he's Mashiach and acts like one, and is willing to take on superpowers and go to war in the Megiddo, etc., does he see himself fulfilling the vote of Yishayahu? Does he see himself as divine sinning already? If that's the topic for Yirmiyahu. You follow? But that's why that line on the dust. Look, the line of that is the beginning of that's what Nechama. Now there's something else. Now what's the problem? There's no doubt though, there's certain sentences. We mentioned Chorus, for example, we talked about Bible. There's certain allusions that are so typical at the beginning of Bais Sheni. I don't think that's so much of a problem. There's nothing terrible. It's the core Nevuah. And it's not Yishayahu. There's so much similarity between Pasim Mem to Samach Vav. They're a little bit different, but Yishayahu changed the style with no problem. The earlier. The sound of Chavdan of Ramahe is different than the other one, but still similar. And Nabi can write in different styles. Nothing wrong with that. And there's tons of similarities in theme and style in the book Nacham Mem B'Samach Vav with earlier Pratim. But don't be surprised if later in the Be'im, Tamidim of Yishayahu, in the beginning of Bais Sheni, what do? They can add a little bit, add a pasuk here, filling in because things are happening. There's nothing wrong with that. Like Elner Babel to Tilim. Elner Babel makes much more sense if it was written when it says it was written. But it's in the theme of Sefer Tilim. Because they talked about, so don't be surprised if maybe a line gets it. Now, something even more interesting I found, if you look in outside sources, there was the beginning of the Persian kingdom, like the earliest Persian king, there was a Persian king named Koresh in 686. In 689, there was a king named Koresh. Way before, right when it was in his Cyprus, the Persian. Before Babel even became a power, but they were warring with Babel with that then. But there's already the earlier, I found it in, what's his name, in Sherikovich, what's his name? But that's later, that's 200 years later. But Koresh is a name. We find Koresh in outside sources as a Persian king already in the time period of Menasseh. So if Yishayahu himself is seeing already, remember, what is if you know the story, what Yishayahu sees in the end in Perek Lamed, in Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, Lamed Tet, when Yishayahu comes to, when he comes and tells Hezekiah, you're going to die, and Hezekiah doesn't listen to him and he davens. He tells him basically you're going to have to about his kids said what's going to happen and you're going to be he says your children are going to be taken away by Melech Bavel. In Lamed Tet, God tells him the worst. But Yishayahu sees the king of Yehuda being taken into Galut. If we had time we'd take a look in Perek Lamed Tet, you'll see that. But even in the time of Yishayahu there's someone named Koresh who could be referring to. He doesn't say exactly Koresh of five, of Hatzorah Koresh. But what does he see? He sees the ultimate redemption of Israel. He sees why is Babel the destroyer of Israel? Because what does Hezekiah do? That's a famous one in Perek Lamed Tet. Hezekiah shows Melech Bavel, who wants to make a treaty with him against Ashur, shows him all his wealth and everything he does with him. And therefore, what does Yishayahu see? Babel's going to come in and punish him. That's happening. That's for sure not to Yishayahu. He sees it happening. But who's going to come and save him from Babel? It'll be Parah. It'll be Koresh. So it could be even there's something for Yishayahu. All that I'm saying is that you can look at what they call Deuteronomy Isaiah. Again, there's a lot of support that it's later on. And you could say maybe things were added, fixed up a little bit better. I think the core of the world fit just as bad, if not better, to the time period of Menasseh than they do to the beginning of Bais Sheni, which I think solves most of the problem. Now, one just thing on the page, what else does the Nabi have to do with? I put the other nations, you see the ups and downs? Mm-hmm. What does the Nabi have to do with? You can explain the sine wave in many ways. If you're a Chiloni, if you don't see the hand of God in history, there's another reason why we have all the ups and downs in Jewish history. When there's other superpowers, so what is that? When Aram's in power, down we go. When Ashur's in power, down we go. Ashur falls, we're up. Babel comes, we're down. What are we doing? What's the Nabi coming to say? That's exactly Shayahu and Yirmiyahu. What are they saying all the time? Saying, don't think that the reason the ups and downs are because of the other powers. The reason the other powers come into power is because of the way you're behaving. Uh-huh. Which that's exactly where the Nabi is coming in. And that's the job of the Nabi. Now, who's right? Depends what paper you read. But the Nabi isn't saying, the truth is, there are good external reasons. The job of the Nabi is to relate between what's happening in the external world to your behavior. And therefore Yeshayahu is a Navi talking about social justice all the time. In times of trouble, when there's outside trouble, when Israel is in a terrible security situation, what needs to be done? Just one little left line. He's not telling them to go conquer more land and go. He's telling them how to act as a society, to be a society that's worthy of God's Shekhinah. And if you do that, God will take care of them. God will help you take care of the rest. But so the good has to come from its core values and not from outside things. No.